To turn to the book of Luke, chapter 24. Book of Luke, chapter 24. We'll be reading verses 13 through verse 35. I believe this will be the fourth message that I have preached from this passage since I've been here. There's so much to be gathered from these verses that should be encouraging and convicting and helpful to us. We'll begin reading with verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, or about 7.5 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. But he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel, and beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded, he explained, he clarified unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They drew nigh unto the village, that is, of Emmaus, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. They constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? They rose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Back in Luke chapter 23, we read that 3 days prior to our text, Jesus Christ was crucified and buried. When we come to Luke chapter 24, verse 1, it is now the first day of the week, Sunday. And it says that it was very early in the morning. And go on, and we read that there were some women who had gone to the tomb of Jesus Christ. And when they got there, they found the stone rolled away. And verses 2 and 3 tells us that they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. As a result of this empty tomb, these women were very much perplexed. And then we see two angels appeared and said unto the women, He is not here, but is risen. Verse 9 tells us that these women returned from the sepulcher, told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. The 11 and all the rest. In verse 11, we see the result of this, of the women's testimony upon the disciples. And their words seemed to them, that is, the 11 and all the rest, as idle tales, and they believed them not. Coming to our text in verse 13, and behold, two of them, the them is part of all the rest, which heard the women's testimony, and they considered it as idle tales, and they believed it not. Two of them, that same day, Sunday, the first day of the week, they decided there's no need to hang around Jerusalem. We need to go back home. And these two started to head toward Emmaus. And we're told that it was about 70 furlongs. That is about 7.5 miles. In verse 18, one of these two is identified as Cleopas. Many assumptions have been made on who the other person is. Really doesn't matter. But I would like to make an assumption concerning the other individual. And I believe that we can make this assumption without doing any harm to the Scriptures. Notice in John chapter 19, and this really isn't the point of the message, just making assumption, give you something to think about. John 19, verse 25. And there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, Mary, his mother's sister, which on the human side would make her the aunt of Jesus. His mother's sister, and she's identified, Mary, the wife of Cleophas. And then there was Mary Magdalene. I believe that it is very possible that this other disciple is the wife of Cleophas. They're headed to the same house, we know that, as you read down further. But there they are, they're walking, heading back to Emmaus. If this is husband and wife, then this one, the fleshly side, would make them the uncle and aunt of Jesus Christ. But they're headed to home to Emmaus from Jerusalem. What we read in our text is what happened that day on their way home. What happened that day on that road. And what happened was a personal encounter with a risen Christ. As these two are walking along, and again, it really doesn't matter who they are. But as these two are walking along, notice verse 18. In their communication with Jesus Christ, and one of them whose name was Cleopas answered, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And notice that phrase, the things which are come to pass there, that is in Jerusalem. And then particularly notice, in these days. In these days. For these two disciples, these days were very, very difficult. They were very, very trying days. And now they're on their way home to Emmaus. The end result of what happened that day on the road to Emmaus is recorded in verses 31 and verse 32. In verse 32, we read that there was a burning in their hearts. That is, that day on that road, they experienced deep feelings. They experienced great longings. They felt an intense passion. They felt great elation. They felt energy. They felt vitality. Verse 31 says that their eyes were opened and they knew him. So in those two verses, we have the end result of what happened that day. I want to speak this morning on the subject of burning hearts and open eyes in trying times, in these days, verse 18. These days. First of all, let's set the stage for this walk to Emmaus. Again, verse 18, the things which are come to pass, all the things that can come to pass, the things which are come to pass there, that is in Jerusalem, in these days. Immediately we ask, what had come to pass? Well, that's recorded in verse 20. How the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucify him. And then in verse 21, as the grave was empty. That is what had come to pass in those days. What had come to pass in those days was that Jesus Christ was so abhorred. Jesus Christ was so detested that he was arrested. He was mocked. He was falsely accused. He was condemned to die. And he was crucified. And there was the jeering, sneering, taunting crowd looking on. And on top of all of this, the tomb is empty. They said he was arisen. But when some of our multitude went, they found the grave empty and they saw not Christ. They say he's risen, but we haven't seen him. These were very, very difficult days. In these days, for these two disciples, these were days of sin. These were days of apostasy. These were days of fierce opposition to Christ. They were days of trial. They were days of difficulty. They were days of distress. They were exasperating days. They were tormenting days. We can all identify with what Cleophas said here. The things which are come to pass in these days. The things that had come to pass in those days had an adverse effect upon these two disciples. There they are, walking along, headed back to Emmaus, and they're talking to one another. Someone has said, well, they couldn't be husband and wife. They're talking to one another. And they did for 7.5 miles. But notice 3 times it is stated that they are talking to one another. Verse 14, and they talked together. Verse 15, while they communed together. Jesus asked them in verse 17, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another? So there they are, walking along, walking back home to Emmaus, and they're talking to one another. They're talking about the things that had just come to pass in those days. And as you watch these two, you see many things about their condition. And they are things that identify many of God's people today. First of all, we see as they walked along, they lacked faith. We see that in verse 11, they are part of those who believe not. And Jesus would later say to them in verse 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe all. It's not that they didn't believe anything, but it was that they were slow of heart to believe all. There isn't anybody here today that would take this book and say, I don't believe any of it. But many of us are slow of heart to believe all. And that was their problem. They were slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So they lacked faith. As they walked along, and this of course is the result of lacking faith, they were caught up in human reasoning. We read in verse 15 that they communed together and reasoned. They communed together and reasoned. They're looking for answers. Why did this happen? Why have these things happened? They're trying to figure it all out. And without faith, that is an impossible task. You can't figure it out. But there they are, walking along, reasoning with one another. As they walked along, they were filled with sadness. This also is the result of a lack of faith in human reasoning. It says in verse 17 that Jesus asked them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And are sad. So, they're very heavy-hearted because of the things that had happened, because they failed to believe. They're unhappy. They are somewhat dispirited. They are very downbeat. No doubt they are discouraged. And I believe that they are even distraught. And as they walk along, you can see this upon their faces. As they walk along, you could see this in the way they walked. As they walked along, you could hear this in the tone of their conversation. And that's what Jesus implied there in verse 17. So they were sad. Also, as they walked along, they were feeling defeated. As they talked about what had come to pass, notice verse 21, they said, we trust it. We trust it. That is, sir, we had confidence, we were sure, and we had conviction that this one who has been crucified and now his grave is empty, we were sure that was he that would redeem Israel. You see, their hopes had been shattered. Their assurance and confidence is gone. And now they're headed back to Emmaus, and they're very weary. And oh, they're filled with disappointment, because we thought that this was the one. They are frustrated. They no doubt are restless. And as you listen to them talk, they have a sense of hopelessness about them, and they're very, very pessimistic. Sounds familiar? As you look at them, there's no passion. There's no passion for the Lord. There's no ambition. There's no zeal. There's no fervor. There's no victory. They're living in defeat. Headed back to Emmaus. As they walk along, they're fearful and very confused. They said in verse 22, certain women also of our company made us astonished. Made us astonished. What had come to pass was to them very sudden. What had come to pass to them was quite unexpected. And it brought chaos into their lives. And it brought fear into their lives. Also, as they walked along, Christ, in their minds, was no longer relevant to their lives. They had made, no doubt, professions of faith. Perhaps they had seen some of his miracles. Perhaps they had heard him teach and preach. And all of this was very exciting, and all of this was enlightening and uplifting. But as you read the passage, all of this is in the past. Their experience of Jesus was all in the past. They once saw Jesus Christ as the answer to all their problems, to all their difficulties, to all their needs, to all their circumstances. But he's been crucified, and the grave is empty. And they no longer see Jesus as the answer. And they're headed back to Emmaus. That brings us to what happened on that road to Emmaus. Because what happened that day is what we need as well. First of all, Jesus Christ appeared and walked with them. Verse 15. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned. So there they are, unbelieving, heavy-hearted, downcast. They are discouraged. They are disappointed. They are defeated. They are pessimistic. They are fearful. They are confused. They have no ambition for Christ. They have no zeal for Christ. And they're headed back to what? The routines of Emmaus. Headed back to their old life.
in Emmaus, headed in the direction of obscurity. But notice what it says. As they're on their way and as they're talking to one another, verse 15, Jesus himself. It was him. He drew near and he went with them. So there they are, and Jesus came. And that changed everything. And that's what we need today. We need for Jesus to show up in our lives. Jesus himself drew near. They're leaving Jerusalem, headed back to Emmaus. But they haven't been abandoned. Neither of you. They haven't been left alone, because Jesus himself drew near. And now, though they did not know it, there would be companionship with Christ. You know, there are times, again, we see these two, perhaps husband and wife, it really doesn't matter. We see these two walking together, reasoning together, trying to figure it all out, trying to help one another. But you know, there are times when the husband can't help the wife, when the wife can't help the husband, the parent can't help the child can't help the parent, and the friend can't help the friend. And in those times, what a blessing it is when Jesus draws near. Because he's the one who can help. And that's what happened. Jesus drew near. And there is nothing like being in the presence of a resurrected Savior. We see as they're walking along, Jesus is now walking with them. The scriptures were made clear. Verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded, he explained, and he made clear unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So as they're walking along, they are silently and they are intently listening as Jesus explained and clarified what the Old Testament scriptures said, very important phrase, concerning himself. Concerning himself. Now you can believe what you want to believe, but I believe that Jesus took them through the Old Testament scriptures. I believe that Jesus took them by the blood-sprinkled altars. And he expounded concerning himself. I believe that Jesus took them to Jacob's ladder and he expounded concerning himself. I believe that Jesus took them to the burning bush and he expounded concerning himself. He took them to the Passover lamb and he expounded concerning himself. He took them to the tabernacle. He took them inside the tabernacle and through the tabernacle and expounded concerning himself. He took them to Job's Redeemer and expounded concerning himself. He took them to the book of Jonah and showed them how that Jonah was in the in the whale's belly for 3 days and three nights. And what did he do? He expounded concerning himself. Jesus Christ made clear the scriptures to them concerning himself. This would give them a new vision of the truth. This would give them a new understanding of things that no doubt they were familiar with. And God's people are familiar with a lot of things. We need to understand. And they now had a new understanding. This clarity of the scriptures concerning Christ caused a burning in their hearts. Verse 32, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? So while Christ was explaining and clarifying truths concerning himself, these two began to experience deep feelings and longings in their heart. I always wonder about folks that you can open the scriptures to and preach to them and they don't feel anything. Jesus began to explain, began to clarify, and they began to have feelings and longings in their heart. They began to feel an intense passion. They began to feel an ambition. They began to feel a zeal in their hearts. It said our hearts burned within us. Our hearts were ablaze as he clarified truths concerning himself. Our hearts were consumed by what Jesus explained and clarified concerning himself. What this means is their hearts came under the influence of the opened word. It's amazing today how many people can sit in church and listen to the word of God and their hearts never come under the influence of the opened word. Did not our hearts burn, they said. Felt a pull. They felt an influence. And this burning in their hearts created an overwhelming desire for Christ. Verse 28. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. Notice verse 29. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in, tarry with them. Here's what happened. Here they are, walking along. They get to the place in Emmaus where they were going. And these two disciples began to make a turn to go into the house. And Jesus kept walking. These two stopped. And I picture in my own mind that they laid hold of Jesus. It says that they said, abide with us. It was as if they said, don't go! Don't go! Don't leave us! Tell us more! Tell us more. We want to hear it again. That's the result of a fire burning in the heart. As they were walking along and Jesus was explaining and clarifying the scriptures, I don't believe one single time that one of them said to the other, I wonder what time it is. I wonder what time it is. I'm getting tired. They were captivated. They were captivated by what Jesus was showing them in the scriptures. And now when they get to their house, they can't stand the thought of not being with Him. There was a desire. There was a desire. At this point, they don't even know who He is. But there was a longing. They're saying, oh, please don't leave. Come on in. Come on in and stay a while. Would you tell us again? Would you tell us again about those altars? Would you tell us again about Jonah? Oh, would you tell us again? We want to hear it over and over and over. They wanted more of the presence of Jesus Christ. And when our hearts burn within us, there will be an excitement. There will be a zeal. There will be an enthusiasm. There will be a gladness to be in the house of God, hearing the Word of God in the presence of Jesus Christ. There'll be a zeal for these things. When our hearts burn within us, there will be a wanting to do what we are supposed to do. When our hearts burn within us, having that fire of God burning in their soul made them want more. Made them want more. They couldn't get enough. They wanted more. We're very time conscious here in the United States. Preachers are. Hearers are. I remember back in the early 80s going to Honduras preaching to an interpreter. There all day long and all night long. Because it wasn't enough to preach 45 minutes. We want more. We want more. We want more. And it was all day. If that ever happens in the United States, that'll be the end of me. I will die right there. But that's how it was. There was a burning. There was a longing. They weren't worried about the time. They weren't concerned about anything else. But they wanted more. And I'll tell you what. When we get the fire burning within our hearts, that's when you'll get beyond. That's when people will get beyond Sunday morning only Christianity. Don't mean to be offensive. But there are those here that's the only time you come and you're not even here every Sunday morning. But be honest, that's the only time you are here. You're never here on Sunday evenings. Never here on Wednesday evenings. And in your mind, you think Sunday morning's enough. But let me tell you something. You get the fire burning in your heart and Sunday morning won't be enough. You need the fire. And what is it that causes that fire to burn? It is the Word of God concerning Jesus Christ. It is the heart coming under the influence of the Word of God. Now don't get me wrong. I'm glad you're here Sunday morning. But I'd even be happier if you came back tonight. If the fire burns within your soul, you want more. Then notice, their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Verse 29, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he, Jesus, went in to tarry with them. Notice verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, as he sat at the table, he took bread. Keep in mind, they're the host. He took bread. He blessed it. He prayed. They've now heard him preach. Now they hear him pray. And then it says he break. As he broke off a portion for each one. And he gave it to them. Verse 31 says, and their eyes were opened. And they knew him. Verse 35, after all this has transpired, they go back to Jerusalem. They find the apostles and they begin to tell what had happened. Verse 35, and they told what things were done in the way. And then notice, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. They did not know him until he broke the bread and gave it to him, to them. Here's what I believe happened. Again, you can believe whatever you want. The Bible doesn't say, but here's what I believe happened. Jesus broke the bread. Jesus handed it to them. As he did, that robe came up. And what did they see? They saw those nail prints. And they said, it's him! It's him! It's the one they crucified. It's the one we put in the tomb. It's him! It's him! It's him! And then, phoom, he vanished out of their sight. And now, it's just the two of them. Verse 32, they began to talk to one another again. He said, oh, did not our heart burn with us while he talked with us along the way? While he opened to us the scriptures. So there they are sitting there by themselves now. And we can just picture it. There's Cleopas. Oh, 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 the burning. Oh, I feel something. And then the other said, oh, I do too. I feel it too. I've never felt like this before. It's like the first time I saw him. It's like the first time I heard him. Did not our heart burn within us? Oh, we need that today. And then notice, verse 33, there was courage and determination. And they rose up the same hour. They have just walked 7.5 miles. It's getting late in the evening. And they returned to Jerusalem. 7.5 miles back. That's 15 miles. But I believe they ran part of the way, maybe all the way, on the way back. They're walking completely different on the way back to Jerusalem. They're excited. They have passion in their hearts. They have a zeal. They have a fervor. And they have courage. Because what's back in Jerusalem? Persecution. That's where the enemy is. Didn't even cross their mind. They headed back to Jerusalem. They did so now believing. Those hearts that were so heavy, the burden has been lifted. Those hearts that were so discouraged, as they head back to Jerusalem, their hearts are now encouraged. Those hearts that were so fearful are now filled with courage. Those hearts that were so pessimistic, those hearts that were so hopeless, are now optimistic, and they're filled with assurance, and they're filled with conviction as they head back to Jerusalem. Those hearts that were so defeated are now victorious as they head back to Jerusalem. What brought it all about? Being in the presence of a resurrected Christ. Having the scriptures opened, explained, and clarified. Having their souls fed. What this did was it set their hearts on fire. And their eyes were opened. And that Christ who was in their mind irrelevant at this time, he's real. He's real. I submit to you, their life was changed. Their life was changed. And I'll tell you what else was changed. Their plans were changed. Because they were headed to Emmaus, and that's where they were going to stay. They did not plan on heading back to Jerusalem the same night. But you get your hearts on fire, and you'll be surprised how many of your plans change. And they returned to Jerusalem with passion, with zeal, with ambition, with desire to tell somebody, with resolve, determination. They headed back to Jerusalem with a new attitude toward the Lord, toward His service. And I believe they had an entirely new outlook upon life. And I believe they now had a renewed purpose in their life. Oh, how we need an Emmaus Road experience. Oh, how we need that. You say, well, how do I know when I have it? Oh, you'll know. And your heart will burn. Your heart will burn within you. There'll be a longing. I want more. I want more. I can't get enough. I can't get enough. I got to get back there. I got to get back to the house of God. I want more. I want more. Tell us again. Tell us again. Today, oh, Pastor, that was a rerun. Continue your sentence. Tell it to me again. That's the second time you preach that, preacher. Tell it to me again. I want to hear it some more. I want to hear it some more. That's how that sentence ought to keep going. We want more. We want more. I don't care if we hear the same message 18 Sundays in a row. Our attitude ought to be when we leave, I want more. I want to hear it again. I want to hear it again. Come stay with us, Lord. Come abide in our house. Tell us again. Do our hearts burn? Do we have that longing today? You know how it is today? People come under the hearing of God's word. They look at their watch. You know, the football game starts pretty soon, preacher. The restaurant's going to get crowded pretty soon. Come on, wrap it up, wrap it up. We've got things to do today. But it ought to be, I want more, I want more, I want more. Don't stop now. Don't stop. Preach it to us again. That's what happens when our heart burns within us. We need that fire. We need that fire kindled. We all do. Every single one of us. We need that fire. Oh, to feel it again. Oh, for that Emmaus Road experience. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us. A verse of song. What's